Hi, this is John Delancey, and you are listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
Hi, this is Adam Mastriani, and you're listening to Altered Geek.
You're tuned in to Steve Megatron on Altered Geek.
Hello, and welcome to Altered Geek. I'm your host, Steve Megatron. In this episode, we'll be joined again by TFG1 Mike and Kai.
Hey, thanks for having me again.
No problem.
And this time, we need to get the backstory of Kai Dragon Media, because last time went off the rails at the beginning of the show last week. So tell our audience.
I felt like we went off the rails. We went down a cliff, going as fast as we can. We didn't even try to take our foot off the accelerator. We just said hell with it, and we just went all the way down like Evel Knievel.
That's right. Goose and Cruise. Got the need, the need for speed, baby.
I feel like we're... I don't know if this is Top Gun, though.
It's not.
I didn't think so. Anyway, I am Kai Dragon Media. I am on YouTube. You can find me there predominantly. I am also on Twitter X as Kai Dragon Media. I cover gaming news, pop culture, talk about movies. I have the Dragon Slayer, where on Wednesdays we talk about all sorts of different issues going on in the world involving games, movies, and pop culture. And it could range from anything from talking about Hasbro to what Sony's doing, what Xbox is doing, or how, you know, Ghostbusters Frozen Empire looks amazing, because I haven't been that excited to see a movie in a long time. And then also I do a lot of gaming on the channel with the group I call the Wrecking Crew, where we do a lot of comedy and play survival and strategy games.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Awesome, awesome.
This week, folks, oh boy, Hollywood, go home, because nobody's watching the new stuff.
Nope.
What's going on? I guess I forgot whatever they were putting out. It's gone.
Stuff out? No, really?
Yeah, I guess it's gone. Sorry, Hollywood, I don't even remember what you're putting out. Selective amnesia?
Mm-hmm, pretty much. Modern Hollywood shows rejected by viewers in favor of old TV series. Kind of like what I said last week on Altered Geek, where it's like, how can I get invested in a new show if you only let it go one episode or one season? There's no longevity anymore in media, especially for streaming services who are trying to come up with original content.
Yeah.
I feel like we've been here before. Have we been here before?
I think we have.
Yeah. I feel like it. I suddenly feel like it.
Yeah, this is kind of interesting, because we were having the discussion about streaming services and not having a clue and things like that.
Yeah.
And then we kind of get to the boat of, well, they still don't have a clue. Because they're pumping out a lot of programming, or at least they were during COVID. And then what the writer's strike allowed them to do is to cut back, to cancel, and to kind of re-evaluate, we should say, what was actually performing and what wasn't. Because they were just pumping out a lot of trash during COVID. And because people were at home, they had nothing better to do than to watch programming. And honestly, like, most of the stuff that they pumped out was just utter garbage. Kind of a waste. And
it's a time. Waste of everything.
And there's, you know, too much. And not to say that some shows aren't political, because there are a lot, like Star Trek's political, you know. I mean, just about every show is, you know, got tendencies of different things, and I'm not denying that, but the writing was shoehorned in, lazy writing, poor quality, they were putting things. I mean, they're even doing it now with stuff. Like, I don't have a problem with some of the stuff that they're putting in necessarily. I mean, I don't have to watch it, but it's the way that they're doing it. It's like, oh, let's put in this piece of dialogue that actually has no bearing on the conversation. And it's there for more or less virtue signaling. And then they, you know, finally get to the point of the actual program and kind of skip past it. I don't have a problem with, like, I'm trying to word this so carefully. I don't have a problem with, like, different representations and stuff showing up in shows. It's how they portray it. And this is, like, industry wide. Like, it doesn't matter what it is, like, what it's based off of. Like, I feel like a lot of the writing was just poorly done, or like they would take a source material, point in case Star Trek Discovery, which was pre-COVID, and not pay attention to any of the backlog and just kind of let's do what we want, doesn't matter.
And the thing about politics and shows and everything else is, like, I say this every episode we talk about this, but fictional like Ben Affleck in Chasing Amy, fictional characters, like, yeah, you can put various things in, but here's my problem. Hollywood maybe has never been subtle, but they've lost the art of trying to be subtle.
And you and I
just finished recording, it hasn't released yet, I don't know when it's going to release, but you and I just finished recording the first episode of Altered Trek, where we looked at season one of Star Trek The Next Generation, and there are four or five episodes in there where all kinds of weird political and cultural things happen. Did we get offended from watching it? No.
Well, and this is the thing that's kind of lost too, is back in the 80s and 90s, they had to be more careful.
Yes.
How they shoehorned things in. And they gave you both sides and then left it for you to figure it out and decide. They didn't choose to do it in a way that would create a division with people. It just created conversation, which I feel is like the lost art that people don't have a clue with anymore. I'm of the opinion that we need to go back to that type of writing. But sadly, a lot of them either are past or retired or working on other shows or doing things that are going to cause them to more or less be in a better situation than necessarily going back to a franchise that made them, because they've kind of lost their way.
Hollywood in general has lost its way. I mean, we don't really focus on bringing quality movies and thinking outside the box. It's like a lot of the big problem with a lot of these companies now is they're trying to follow the money. And what I mean by following the money is there's a thing called the ESG rating out there. I'm not sure if you guys have heard of that. But what the ESG rating is they have to meet so many social score criteria in order to get loans and money. And so they sacrifice quality of shows for, I don't want to say, for approval from these companies. And then they start losing money and they don't recover the money that they borrowed or they've invested in. And then they're dumbfounded. And so then they think, okay, well, maybe if we go back to the classics, the stuff that made everything at the beginning. So they try to go for that, and then that fails, and they're just even more dumbfounded, like, what are we doing wrong? And it's never clicked with Hollywood that maybe it's because of the poor writing and the poor design of these movies. And everything is so CGI based now that they forgot what it takes to make movies. just for example, Beetlejuice 2, Michael Keaton had an interview. We talked about it last week on the Dragon Slayer. Michael Keaton, stand-up actor. And I've always loved him. I've loved his movies. He said he didn't want any of that CGI crap. He wanted the old school acting that we all used to know and love. Guys being lifted up by ropes and everything like that. He wanted none of the flashy particles or anything for Beetlejuice 2. I think that is a very wholesome decision. I really liked his take on that because I think it's true. Hollywood needs to go back to basics and reduce their spend on movies because B-budget movies are doing way better nowadays. Hollywood's in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Nope.
I mean, it's when we look at, like, they want to do a reboot to Back to the Future because or a continuation to think that that's going to draw in nostalgia. It may not. It may succeed. It's hard to say. Reboots. We've got so many different reboots. We had the Total Recall, which is one I think of that still the Arnold Schwarzenegger one is superior to that. The Judge Dredd one was okay. Honestly, I liked them both. I think the Carl Urban one was closer to the source material and amazing.
That's the thing. That's the thing about Judge Dredd is one of those ones where it's kind of like it's okay because it's night and day between the two of them. The Sloan version is more played for laughs. It's more played for 90s sensibilities of when it was made, whereas the Carl Urban version is like, hey, look, we're finally getting to adapt the actual comic book into a film. Which correct. Is fine. Yeah, it was absolutely fine.
And I absolutely love that. I think that that's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Then when we look at these other adaptations, like the Marvel Universe, for example, superhero fatigue's a real thing. And unless you have something you're going to offer, it's not going to work. And not only that. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say this last week when you mentioned superhero fatigue last week. I read somewhere in the last month or so, I don't remember where, I could have been on your Discord community, could have been online somewhere. Somebody said somewhere where it's not that we're superhero fatigued, it's we're fatigued with bad superhero movies. That's the problem. I don't know.
No, I am in agreement with you.
I didn't say it. I read it somewhere. I don't know. Do we still love superheroes? Yes, absolutely. But I don't know. What were you going to say?
I forgot for a second there. But
we're old folks. We always forget shit around here.
But okay, so when I look at that, you're absolutely correct. But anytime you look at Marvel, we've already used up all the good cards in the deck. Now we're just trying to figure out leftovers. And every time I hyped up about a new superhero movie, I'm like, it's like, I'm not even excited about the Fantastic Four. The only one that has hit me close, and that's been Deadpool. And even then, I'm nervous about that one.
Because Disney's involved.
Exactly. And it makes me wonder, what are we going to do? I mean, what is it going to take for Hollywood to learn? And I was hoping that the writer strike, the actor strike, and everything would make Hollywood a little bit more wiser. No, not at all. It ended up being, okay, they scrapped a lot of the shows that were going to sink their ship, like Velma season 2 and things like that. But it also gave them the ability to manipulate more with the AI and wheel and deal with AIs and voicing. And it's like, holy cow, they did not learn. They have to go bankrupt, it feels like.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And the thing about budgets and movies and this, that, and the other thing, everything else, we just, the time this is released, it's been a couple of weeks, but I just recorded the next installment of 12 Months of Star Wars over on Studio 2009 with my buddy Dave Draper, where we talked about the original Star Wars movie. That film had an $11 million budget. You don't see Marvel, Disney, you don't see any of that stuff now with that small. And I say $11 million is not small, folks. I understand it's not. It's freaking huge. But compare that to $200 million Avenger movies or $500 million Batman movies or whatever it is. I'm just saying, like, since 1977, the last 47 years, the budgets for Hollywood big blockbuster movies, because big blockbuster movies have been a thing since the late 80s, early 90s, it's gotten so far up there. And some of them just don't hit. Just don't.
And let's look at the Marvels. It just didn't do too well. Blue Beetle, it didn't do too well.
I think that's part of the problem is you're using characters that are second fiddle.
Yeah.
Like they're not like the primaries. Plus, if you're focusing on the villains, people don't care as much as they want to. Like, I don't know why we're trying to make, like, romanticize making the villains the hero.
You mean Joker, Joker 2? Joker was great, but then now we're doing Joker 2 the musical, and I'm like, what? With the love story of Harlequin with Lady Gaga, and I'm just like, what? My brain checked out at that minute. I'm just like, I'm done.
I actually had no ambition to see it because I don't need an origin story for the Joker. The whole premise to his character is that you're not supposed to know, and he's supposed to be just a whack job.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need his backstory. I really don't care about any of their backstories, but I don't need more villain crap. Like, give me a decent superhero film.
Yeah, well, there's a difference between villain origin stories and getting a good villain story.
But why do we need origin stories for literally everything?
Well, you know this. We've talked about this for 15 years, man.
But I'm saying, like, I mean, looking at it, they're talking about doing another, like, oh, we're going to do a Starfleet Academy series. It's like, dude, people don't care about that. People want Star Trek Legacy. Like, give us Legacy, man.
Yeah, you're right, but we've known for the past 15, 16 years. It's because they need that new fan. They don't need us. They need the new fan. And the only way you're going to get a new fan is to tell the origin story a different way. Look, when it comes to the Joker in live action, his origin story starts and stops for me with The Dark Knight, because it was on the precipice of edges of telling an origin story without actually, like to know how I got these scars. Do you want to know? Like, it was like a tease. It was again, like what I mentioned last week with the streaming services exhaustion episode. Subtlety in Hollywood has gone out the flipping window.
Yeah. They have completely lost any and all ability to have a valid direction. I mean, let's just face it. They don't understand what they're aiming for. They don't understand their aim. It's just, hey, let's just throw whatever at the wall and see what sticks. And a lot of times, surprise, surprise, it doesn't stick. And, you know, I thought when the Writers Guild and everything, they were going to finally try to go back to being a little bit more serious with writers and have less writers that they just pulled off the street. But in the end, I'll say it was futile.
I mean, I won't say it was futile, because the writers and the actors and everybody, they needed to get what they deserve to get as far as job and all of that. But in the whole creative sense of it, of companies actually having good writing done by these people, yeah, probably. Yes, I don't know. Writer in Hollywood, I'm just a podcaster.
But it's still, at the same time, we look at all the infinite possibilities of it, and we find ourselves just, what were they thinking? Why did they go this route? And I don't understand it personally. I wish it was a little bit easier to understand. But I feel like Hollywood today wanted to go so deep into this political division that is going on, not just in the United States, all over the freaking world. We have to throw in all this politics in all the movies and take away that immersion, that thing that we know and love and hold dear. And I, when I go to a movie, I just want to jam out to a movie, vibe out, you know, enjoy everything around me and be like, man, I forgot about the whole world for that 2 hours. That was the greatest mobster film I've ever seen. I miss that. I was just talking with my friend Diane earlier today, who's never seen Kill Bill. I said, that is a masterpiece, and we're going to have to watch that together, because I have not seen masterpieces in a long time. I mean, there's good movies, and, you know, like a good movie was the Mario Brothers last year.
Oh, that was an awesome movie.
But what are we going to have this year? What is
Deadpool 3?
I mean, maybe Deadpool, the Frozen Empire, but is there anything else slated out there?
I don't even know, because I don't even look anymore. I've stopped looking.
Oh, I've stopped looking too, for the most part, but when I was trying to figure out what's relevant out there today, let me tell you, it's hard. It's much harder than I thought it was. I mean, it's just like there's nothing out there that just screams, oh my God, I have to see this. This is incredible. This is like a masterpiece. I just don't see that anymore.
No, there's not much out that's worth seeing anymore. And it's sad, because I prefer, I would openly choose older programs at this point to watch, mm-hmm. just because the enjoyability, the rewatchability. To be honest, the only series I've seen recently that I've enjoyed enough to revisit out of any modern series in the last like 5 years, it's Star Trek Picard season 3.
But that's because they went back and did a throwback to the Next Generation. They did something that was the way Next Generation should have went. It was way better than a lot of the movies. And
they bridged the gap with it, which was good. The other issue with like Picard season 1 and 2, for instance, they basically said scrap all, and they threw everything out. And we got season 3, and they basically threw away everything from season 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
And made it relevant, and they gave us like a you know, the spiritual successor to season or to like not only Picard season 1 and 2, but like the films, and kind of continued the storyline. And I felt like they truly cared.
Absolutely. Take this with a very, very large grain of salt, folks, because the source on this is Rotten Tomatoes. So we said we don't know what's coming in 2024. We don't know what big things, whatever, whatever, whatever. So I looked up what's the most anticipated films and stuff in 2024.
Mm-hmm.
Adam Webb, notwithstanding. Argyle. Let's see here. Bob Marley, One Love. Driveaway Dolls, whatever that is. That sounds like something new. Dune Part 2. Okay, that's one thing Hollywood needs to stop. Do an actual subtitle. No, sequels are fine. Do an actual subtitle. Don't do this Part 1, Part 2 BS. Don't do that.
No, they did it with Beverly Hills Cop.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And we're getting Part 3, or Part 4, I mean.
That's a subtitle. True. No. Beverly Hills Cop 1, 2, and 3 only had 1, 2, and 3. There were no subtitles on those. Beverly Hills Cop 4 is Beverly Hills Cop Axel Foley. That's a subtitle. That's not Part 1, Part 2. That's not splitting the film into two things, because it's too damn long. Let's see what else is on here. So this is interesting to me. I don't ever remember seeing Roadhouse. I think I was too young at the time. Back in, I was 9 years old.
Really?
was 9 when the original Roadhouse came out, so I don't think I've ever seen
that. Is iconic.
I know it is, and I know I'm going to end up watching it soon. But apparently, coming this year,
No. Please don't tell me.
You cannot stop this, brother. Sorry. His eye's going to twitch, but listen to this. Opening on March 21st, 2024 on Prime Video, Roadhouse 2024, directed by Doug Liman, starring Jake Gyllenhaal, Daniela McClellar, Billy Mingo, a bunch of other people. 1989 Patrick Swayze action drama Roadhouse is an undeniable cult classic, but director Doug Liman and Jake Gyllenhaal are putting their own spin on it. Stop
putting original spins on stuff, too. Create something new.
Yeah, exactly.
It's absolutely. My favorite thing is always when they say we're doing something for a modern audience. What is the definition of a modern audience? I'm so tired of hearing that because I don't even think they understand what a modern audience is. It makes me go, do you understand when you say, oh, we're doing this for a modern audience? Is it truly what you're thinking? Because a lot of modern audience wants something worth a damn. We all just want good movies. So what is, in retrospect, a modern audience? And they can't, if you ask them that question, I guarantee you they won't be able to tell you what a modern audience is.
Absolutely. Other movies we're getting this year, supposedly there's no date on this, but we're supposed to be getting a Bad Boys 4. Inside Out 2 is coming.
You mean Will Smith is recovering from the whole Chris Rock thing?
Oh, it's Michael Bay. He doesn't care.
Oh.
That's right.
Michael Bay's like, hey, more action, man. More action.
Yeah.
He's like, slap another brother.
Really?
I watched that with Mike, Bad Boys, and it was really good. I liked it.
He and I watched the third film at like 3 o'clock in the morning one night. Eli Roth is directing a Borderlands movie.
Yes, I did see the trailer for that. Okay, I cried a little bit inside when I saw it.
Okay, I haven't seen the trailer for that yet, but yikes! Great.
It's called Hollywood in the quest to try to find something that's going to make them money. And I don't know if they even know how to make money anymore.
Why not? So, yeah, looking at this list, folks, and again, this will be in the show notes for everybody who wants to see it, but lots of franchises this year. I mean, yes, a lot of things have Beverly Hills Cop, Ghostbusters, and Transformers, amongst other things, have 40th anniversaries this year. But this list, Terrifier 3, okay, whatever the hell that is in October. We're supposed to get the animated movie Transformers 1 on September 13th.
Which that I'm kind of optimistic for. I'm optimistic for the new Beetlejuice and for, you know,
Beetlejuice, Axel. Yes. Especially after seeing just how much Heart and Soul, all of them came together to work on this Beetlejuice project. Mm-hmm. All the original cast that they had that's, you know, still alive and everything. I'm thinking, okay, you know, they are really, really trying here. They want just hold true to what the original source was. That makes me happy seeing that.
Mm-hmm. Well, because it tells you they care.
Yeah.
My head hurts. That mouse needs to go back in its hole. December 13th, 2024. Karate Kid, shut the hell up.
Wax on, wax off.
Wax on, mouth off. That's what Raph said at the end of that.
Yes, I remember.
Uh-huh.
I remember.
Obviously, we've got a lot of TBD. We've got one big TBD thing on here, which I'm very much looking forward to. Spider-Man Beyond the Spider-Verse is now TBD. It was previously slated for March of this year.
Really? I wonder what happened.
I don't know. Moved from the schedule amid industry. Oh, it was because of the strikes. It got pushed back because of the strikes.
Oh, that's a little different then.
Yeah, that's a little different.
It's a little different. When they first sing it, I was like, oh, why would they do that? But yeah, that makes sense. When they need to kind of go back to the drawing board because everyone's ticked off at them. Makes sense.
So this list that Rotten Tomatoes has, I saw a lot of things that were new concepts, a lot of things that were, like I just mentioned a moment ago, 40th anniversary or sequel, quattral, whatever the hell, you know, Despicable Me 4 I'm looking forward to, Kung Fu Panda 4 I could care less about, but, you know, is a good mix.
At least on Kung Fu Panda, I was looking at that and I kind of just, like, why?
I'm kind of surprised they're making another one.
I did watch the trailer for that, and I'm just like, why?
I want Agent State Farm.
Yes. Yes.
with Arnold and Danny DeVito.
That's right.
I heard there was coming with the twins too. But that was...
It was supposed to be with Eddie Murphy.
Oh, I thought it was supposed to be with Danny DeVito and Arnold again. Like
it was supposed to be triplets.
Huh.
We don't need that. We don't need that. If that's what it was supposed to be, we don't need that.
Well,
yes, I agree with potential a Twins 2 story, but not that.
Well, my thing is it's sad that our 80s icons have to come back and save us with sequels to their old properties because Hollywood sucks.
Well, I mean, that's true. They suck, but look at it from this perspective. They've had to come back to save us all, and that's why you get stuff like the Expendables. You know, they brought back all the old school guys just for that. Granted, I remember Stallone's done now. He decided he's moving on.
Yeah, good.
But oh. Now Jason Statham's the one handling all that. So will it be good? I don't know. Did you say you just threw up? What?
Yeah, I just threw up in my mouth.
Which part? The Jason Statham one? Or?
Oh, not from what you said, from what I read.
Okay, I was confused.
No. At first I thought, wait a minute, this looks like it's going to be... Oh, that's what they're doing. The Fall Guy, May 3rd, 2024. Is there a better action director than David Leitch these days? Leitch, a former stuntman who previously helmed John Wick, Atomic Blonde, Deadpool 2, and Hobbs and Shaw, is tackling a film adaptation of an 80s TV show about a stuntman who moonlights as a bounty hunter. Sounds right up his alley. Ryan Gosling will play the lead alongside Emily Blunt. They are adapting the Fall Guy TV series into a movie. Are you kidding?
That's something that we don't need.
I know. I was looking at it thinking, oh, this is kind of going to kind of be like what Buddy Reynolds did with Free Guy. No, this is not Free Guy at all.
But then again, look at all the stuff that they're bringing out that we really didn't need anyway. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. At the end of the day.
Yep.
I mean, I don't think you're going to have I don't think a lot of these are going to have happy endings, to be honest.
Yeah.
And I think Hollywood.
We're talking about the same industry that they did Star Wars, you know, the new prequel, and they're like, let the past die. It's purposely like, crap on the past. We don't need it.
Until I see the Star Wars YouTube channel upload a trailer for whatever episode 10 is going to be, I refuse to believe any of these fake-ass trailers.
I don't think they're going to do an episode 10. I think they're better off doing the standalone stuff that has nothing to do with, like, Jedi.
I agree.
The last rumors that I heard is they were done with that.
had said, they need to fire Kathleen Kennedy. She needs to, like, she's a glorified. I saw, what's his name? He used to be part of Hasbro.
Oh,
I forget his name.
Yes, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, he's very divisive anymore, but like, he's like, mm-hmm. Kathleen Kennedy is a glorified secretary that should have never been put in charge.
Well, yes,
she wasn't, though. I mean, she was a producer that he's before.
I know, but yeah, he's know, comparing but, her to that because she should have never been put in charge. Yeah.
Thing is, though, a lot of them don't understand what a good story is anymore. If they understood what a good story was, it wouldn't be as bad as it is now. But when we look at the overall picture of it, Star Wars has lost its way. It should be left alone. I don't think you're ever going to be able to save it. I think it's gone. I think at this point, you're better off just moving on. Find something new. I mean, you could do stuff like The Mandalorian and just forget about everything else. Because at this point, everybody's turned off on it.
Well, my buddy Dave said the coolest thing about The Mandalorian was it was on the edges of the Star Wars universe. And then in season 2 and season 3, they brought all the Star Wars stuff into The Mandalorian. Season 1 was mysterious and you didn't know. And there was these, you know, kind of echoes of Jedi, Sith, blah, 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 blah. And then all of the history with the Mandalorians and everything else. And then season 2, we have a second season. We need to Star Wars this up because it isn't Star Wars enough for Star Wars.
It's just like Lucas Films. They're, you know, they put an end to Indiana Jones after, you know, I feel like that was like the worst mistake that they did.
That franchise is only a trilogy in my mind. I do not give two rips.
I agree with you. There was only, in my opinion, the same way. There was only Indiana Jones and Last Crusade and the Raiders of the Lost Ark and Temple of Doom. And for all we saw was Indiana riding off in the sunset with Sean Connery, his dad. Yeah. And that is what we got. I know it's a lame way to say hell no, but
hell no.
I feel like that's why Eddie Murphy refused to do a Beverly Hills Cop 4 until now, because one, he wanted the story just right. Like, he's like, I'm not bringing this character out of retirement for you to butcher him, which is why like all the actors are returning and, you know, as much as possible.
Yes.
And he, you know, very distinctly, like, that was like a big stipulation with him. He was like, I am not coming back for a mediocre script.
Absolutely.
And that's what you have to look at is the script mediocre? Can this put butts in the seat? Will people watch it and truly enjoy it? And that's the challenge that they have to deal with.
Absolutely.
And I don't know if Hollywood can quite grasp that.
No, they can't.
I don't really feel like they can figure that part out. I think they're still kind of lost trying to understand what makes it so important to have a good film or a good movie or any of that. The reality hasn't set in with them.
Reality and Hollywood doesn't, those two things don't mix. It's like oil and water.
Well, yeah.
It's not reality because it's all scripted.
That's right.
This is true.
By their brain dead overlords. Boom, boom, boom.
Very, very, very brain dead overlords.
What's absolutely funny is I had no idea what I was going to say. That just kind of came out.
You know, it worked. It worked really well, though. I mean, I think it was a good choice.
Hollywood zombies.
It feels like they're nothing but zombies.
And look, again, you know, not to bring up GCRN history here, but Steve and I have been talking about Back to the Future and Beverly Hills Cop 4 as we launched the network 15 years ago. Like, we want it. Do we not want it? What would it be like? Blah, 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 blah. And at this point, I think Back to the Future does not need a fourth film. I think IDW still has the comic book license. IDW in 2015 for the 30th anniversary of the original film, they got the Back to the Future comic book license, and Bob Gale was involved with it and all this and all that, and they had a bunch of really cool stories. And I think Back to the Future works better now, almost a decade later, works better now in comics than it does in film. As Steve already said, if it wasn't going to be good, Eddie wasn't coming back, and it's good, and I've said this on many other Altered Geek shows, I think I've said this over on the Dragon Slayer, youtube.com/dragons, Kai Dragon Media. Mm-hmm. I watched the Beverly Hills Cop, Axel, I've watched it over 2,000 times. Teaser trailer that they put out, I've got more views on that thing than almost anything else I've watched on YouTube in the last 15 years.
But the thing is, it's a good trailer. Do they now? Can they maintain that? Is where I'm more concerned about if they can maintain the hype of that trailer. Because think of it: how many trailers do we see in Hollywood now that literally gives the script away in the trailer, and all the good scenes are in the trailer? After that, it's like.
But that's one thing that's one thing that Netflix has going for it.
This is true. I will agree with you that they do focus on that.
But they seem to, and this is one thing I got to give Netflix. They do seem to understand a franchise when they take it, and they do want to do it justice. So, like, point in case, Beverly Hills Cop 4.
I almost admire you. Still on these streets. Running and cutting. I'm just amazed. Doesn't get to you.
It's the lyrics just picture. That's so hard that your head can't picture.
Watch your ass out there, okay?
I'm gonna be fine. They love me in Beverly Hills.
Detective Foley, you ever read your own file? Shootouts, start of the piece, a lot.
Please tell me you didn't get arrested again.
Twice, but I broke out. I'm going
back. We put our lives on the line. Every day. And for what?
Comes with the job if you're doing it right.
Yeah, babe!
Axel.
So how many people have you pissed off so far?
I haven't pissed off anybody.
Yeah, 50-50.
50-50. Is it that high?
So far.
Yeah. Wow.
They wanted to do, like, they took, like, the War for Cybertron stuff, wanted nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
And then, like, He-Man, they do want something to do with it.
He-Man was one of those things that they wanted something to do with it. But
just put the wrong guy in charge.
Well, yeah, the second season of He-Man was way better than the first by a long shot.
Yeah.
But
because they cut him off.
Yes, that's because he not only did he rage at the fans like a complete
tool.
Deranged tool, yes. I mean, you chase off your fans and call them all sorts of names. That's a great way to get people to watch your movie. When you're just trying to get people to get their butts in the doors and want to watch your stuff and say, man, this is the greatest Masters of the Universe I've ever seen.
Well, and then when Hasbro took Power Rangers to them, they actually wanted to make more of the legacy content, more of the... more of Cosmic Fury, more of, like, they wanted to keep going with it. Hasbro was just like, no, we want to reboot. Like, they want to do, like, 1 hour shows and completely do away with the Sentai material, which is kind of the premise of the show.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I understand now, 30 something years later, them wanting to make original material and not have to be so worried about adapting. I get that now, but I mean,
I don't think there's enough to go.
Yeah,
for
that's
for a 50-minute episode.
No,
like there, 10 episode stints. Like I feel like it's still a 23-minute episode all day long. Like there's not, and it's not like it has to be this overarching serial program.
And that's the thing. Like, it started as a, like you said, 23, 24 minute minus commercials, 30 minute program. You try to add 30 more minutes to any program, whether it was 40 years ago, 30 years ago, 2010, whatever, now
you're going to flounder.
You're going to flounder because you have to pad out that 30 minutes with stuff that nobody wants. And with Power Rangers specifically, it's such a tight 23 minutes to each episode. Can you do arcs? Yes. We had many green with whatever arcs in the original show. We had green with evil. We had the green candle. We had
the White Ranger's birth.
Yes, but what's White Lightning or whatever the hell.
The White Light. Yeah,
the White Light. Yeah. That's what it is. You know, God, I should know this. I love that two-part. Anyway, but like, you know, you can do multiple arcs with a 30-minute show over multiple weeks, but don't stop.
Well, that's
well, like they had a 5-episode, you know, one for the power transfer.
The power transfer was only 2 parts.
No, it was like 5.
When Rocky, Adam, and Aisha came in, that
well,
was
that was part. Yeah, that was 2. Well, it was Ninja Quest. That's what I meant.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, that was a multi. Yeah, but when? Yeah, okay. Yeah, I don't know, man. Hollywood has been so out of it, and when they're on it, when they're in it, it's good. It's great. It's what we want, and I don't mean just because we've been fans for all of our lives, kind of thing. I can look at it at an original thing again. I said this last week. I'll say it again. The Six Underground and the Atom Project. Two original things. I've watched those movies over and over and over again because I just enjoy them so much. So there is a way to do it. They don't know how half the time, unfortunately. Well,
because they don't have good storytelling anymore. Anything you look at right now at this point, the storytelling is lackluster. And if when I went to college, the first thing that I always learned from college was in order to be successful at any project you're doing, you have to understand the audience. You have to be able to get people to want to join. If you do, tune in, you want to entice them. The problem with it a lot of times is they aren't being enticed. It's like, here you go, here, whatever, you know, I don't care kind of mentality. And it defeats any hope of a good criteria show. You have to have passion in what you write and understand what you're going to write. That's why when you think of Peter Jackson's Lord of the Rings, that was probably the closest to source material movie that I can remember. I know it could be a disagreement on that, but when I think about Lord of the Rings, that is probably one of the greatest fantasy trilogies, and he did it good. Did he have to skip a lot? Yes, because those 3 books were quite a bit. He cut out Tom Bombadil. He did a lot of that stuff, but the overall theme of the story, the 3 movies, was fantastic. We don't have that anymore. Look at the Rings of Power. Amazon decided, hey, we're going to come up with our own spinoff and try to mess with the lore of Tolkien. And it was a joke. And I think to myself, why did you let this happen? Why couldn't you have just done it the correct way? Why did we have to try to spin everything in some weird direction that doesn't work? And the answer? I don't think they understand.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they truly understand what they're looking at as far as good writing. And I know that, that the good writing exists because I had to do a lot of writing in college, even where a lot of these writers are supposed to come from for theater and things. Now, granted, there may be at one time there was a demand for writers and they just hired Joe off the of the streets and said, here you go, have a job. If they did, that's on Hollywood. But if for some reason it was a little different, you know, that's even better.
Absolutely.
And I think that's where I'm just like, what on earth did we do?
I don't think they even know.
No, they don't know. If they knew, they would fix it.
Mm-hmm.
But would they truly fix it?
Okay, no. But they would make it better. They would try to at least hopefully learn. That's the thing.
No. Well, we're giving them too much credit there.
All right, but you know, you either die a hero or you live long enough to see yourself become the villain. And Hollywood right now, in general, has become a villain, and that's not good.
A very big supervillain, might I add.
I don't know. I just, like we were talking with the streaming services exhaustion episode last week, I feel like, and how I, and I've mentioned this on the show and other shows before too, how I consume content now is completely different than how I consumed content 20 years ago. Is 20 years ago, in 2014?
Yeah.
No, that was 2 years ago, 2004. God, I can't even math right at midnight. 2004. Math is hard. Meth is worse. in 2004, I wasn't a podcaster yet. I didn't even really, podcasting really wasn't a thing until 2005. But the thing was, like, now how I consume content or how I enjoy content is for eventually doing a podcast about said content. I mentioned last week that eventually Steve and I are going to launch Altered Trek. We are going through every season of TNG, DS9, Voyager, and other and Picard and other things and the films and all that. Like, I haven't seen TNG since I was 7 years old in 1987. So that's interesting to me because I don't remember any of it. Steve's the diehard Trekkie. I'm just on the edge of the universe here. And
pretty much.
You know, that's what, to me, makes a good podcast when you have two people where one is the expert and the other one is just learning about this stuff. And, yeah, and
there's kind of an eye-opener, really. Yeah. And it's a good eye-opener. It's a very good eye-opener.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But just, like, yeah, I don't know. And Steve and I were talking off-air, not tonight, but a couple weeks ago when all the, like, If and what's the other one, Steve? He's got If and something. What's the other Reynolds thing that he's doing?
He's got If and Deadpool 3.
Okay, so yeah, all right, well. But Ryan Reynolds, like, 2002 Van Wilder, okay. I don't know. Really, I like that movie. I don't think we needed a sequel to that movie, but I wasn't sure where Reynolds was going to go, and then I just didn't care for him for the longest time, and then I started caring about what he was doing or how he was whatever, and I came around to liking Ryan Reynolds stuff, and, you know, honestly, he's probably, if not the only person with an original bone in Hollywood to do stuff, because, like I said, Six Underground, okay, it's a Michael Bay thing, fine, whatever. It's not a spy thing. It's an action movie thing. The Adam Project was Sean Levy directing that, and Sean Levy has a track record of doing very emotional things, but it had some sci-fi stuff in it. It had time travel. It had this. It had that. It had things that all the big franchises end up using and whatever else, and this whole If movie is imaginary friends, and my – first thing I said to Steve was, oh, it was like Drop Dead Fred, but with Ryan Reynolds and better. Okay, I mean, Drop Dead Fred's not a bad movie, but it's just similar concept. And it's like everything else in Hollywood, I don't know. I'm just burnt out.
Well, that's just it.
On keeping up with what's going on.
Everyone's burnt out. That's a given. I think everyone is burnt out on the movies. And even then, so looking at even the movie theaters, going to movies, for example, isn't cheap anymore.
It hasn't been in over a decade.
Yeah, but it gets worse. I mean, it's getting worse with prices and with, you know, inflation and everything. People are being more selective of what they go see comparatively than they used to be. And they are also looking at reviews more. You're still going to have the people that are able to somehow splurge on Friday nights to go to a movie theater, but it's not the same as it used to be. I mean, when I was going to movies last year, just for me and my two folks that was going, you know, it was $45 just for the tickets. We just go on to the Regal Theater, put in the reserve our tickets, $45. And, you know, mom always likes popcorn when she's there. So we get
that. I love movie theater popcorn.
I do too. But by the time you get that and we got three drinks, another $40. I'm like, holy hell, we can't afford doing that. Like in the old days, I remember when I was a kid. So let's roll back 30 years. You go to the movie theater, three of us, $20 and a couple drinks and popcorn, another $10, something like that.
And you're probably looking at $40 to $50 for three people. Is now it's $40 to $50 per person day.
Yep.
It reminds me of that old, and I'll probably throw it in here somewhere. It reminds me of that scene from 10 Things I Hate About You, which is also celebrating 25 years this year because it came out in 99, where Andrew Keegan's Joey Donner and Heath Ledger's Patrick Verona. Heath Ledger's like, okay, she's going to want to go to the movies. That's going to be this price. And then she's going to want Raisin Nets, and that's going to be this price. So $100, make it a deal, Fabio, and I'll give you $250, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's this whole thing of them going back and forth about, you know, whatever, 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 because the point of the movie is the Joey Donner character is paying Heath Ledger's character to take the girl out. That was the thing. But it's like that whole argument about how much does things cost and this, and you're right. 30 years ago, the three of us could have gone to a movie and we'd all be paying, I said, $40 or $50 total for all three of us. Whereas today, not so much.
Exactly. Now, if you're doing, say, critic reviews and stuff, hey, you could probably do, you know, tax write-offs and stuff. But not everybody is doing it for movie critics and stuff. So by the time you look at how much it costs, it's like, I just want something good if I want to spend that kind of money. Will we see some good movies this year? I really hope so. I really want to see the age of movies come back.
Well, and the thing is they're all sequels and all like 80s properties that are returning that are of any interest.
Yeah. And that I don't know. Really couldn't tell you if that's going to help or make or break them, to be honest. I wish I knew, but I just, Hollywood's got to get their act together, but will they? I'm at a loss, to be honest, guys, if they can. I mean, I really want to believe that there's an opportunity here, but is that opportunity really there?
Probably not, unfortunately.
And I think that's where my frustration is with Hollywood. Because I miss the days of enjoying good movies and storytelling.
Well, it's like video games. I continually go back to old stuff just because I know I'm going to enjoy it. Like, I don't have any ambition to try new stuff at this point because either A, they go for the super cartoony crap that's geared towards a smartphone. And I'm like, I really don't want that. And I don't want microtransactions. So it's like, please give me an old 30-year-old game, 20-year-old game that I get complete and don't have to, you know, battle with.
Yeah, I'm the same way when it comes to movies. Games. I go back to a lot of my old games. I mean, I play a lot of survival indie games, but from that same perspective, I've been doing that for a while. I've been playing a lot of indie games because they're, surprise, surprise, there's something that was missing. Love for what you do. That's an element, in my opinion, that has been sorely missing, is this whole concept of loving what you do. It's just not there anymore, guys.
No, it's a paycheck for everybody, and that's the sad part.
Yeah. But there's no fact there's love for what you do, it's really almost impossible to really find a good place to where you belong or what kind of movies or values that you get to have. It doesn't exist. I hope we can get back to that. I really want us to get back to where we have these movies that just blow us away and say, holy hell, this is a great movie. I want to see more. I miss that stuff. I want, when I go to a movie, I want to just be absolutely shocked. Just like, holy crap, can we see more of this? Can we do more of this? I want that. And I'm hoping like the Frozen Empire, which is, I think that's the first big one of this year, potentially. I really hope that happens. I really want to see that. I really want to be able to say, this is a movie. This is what's going to make things great. Time's only going to tell on that one. And could it happen? Oh, most definitely. But
we all loved Afterlife, so I only have hope for the franchise at this point, so.
But I think that's the hardest. I think that's the hardest part, really, at the end of the day, when you're looking at Hollywood. I mean, unless you get some big studio companies out there that say, hey, we want to do it. I mean, let's look at Tom Cruise. Guy came out, hit Top Gun Maverick out of the park. I watched that with my folks on Paramount last month. Freaking fantastic movie for having a movie that's been done over 30 years ago. Close to 40. Yeah. It was great. I was excited. I'm like, okay, I could do with another one of these movies if it has more action and stuff. Mission Impossible. You know, he pretty much does. Tom Cruise pretty much does everything on his own too. Damn good movies. You can tell that he puts a lot of passion towards his movies.
He always has.
And that's what Hollywood's missing. Absolutely. From all these studios.
And the thing about Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning is I was super skeptical at the time when I first saw the trailers because it had anything to do with him or anything like that. The action and the whatever, the franchise, it is what it is. It's just, really? You're going to make AI the villain? Really? Do we really need that? Like, whatever, it's fine. And I saw the movie and I'm fine with it and all of that and everything else. It was a damn good movie, just like all the other ones. I think the only complaint I have in the 7 films, a really big complaint, is JJ used too many exploding chips in people's heads in the 3rd movie. But other than that, so far, you know, the franchise has been really damn good. And they all make it really damn good.
Yes.
Whatever.
I agree with you on that. And I think that's what you're going to need is find more people that have a love for the game. In game being.
You need more people like movies. Tom Cruise, and you need more people like Ryan Reynolds, because Ryan Reynolds is going to bring fresh new ideas, and Tom Cruise is going to bring his action sensibilities that he's had for the last 40, 50 years.
Yep. Yep. So with that.
Yes.
Should take a quick commercial break and come back to close the show.
Absolutely.
Yep. So we'll be right back after this.
Because the world needs another movie podcast.
The GeekCast Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure, The Cinema Geek.
Hosted by Amanda, Kevin, Matt, and Dan.
Each week we dive headfirst in the landscape of movies as we discuss movie news, play movie games,
go in-depth on reviews,
and even have a top 10 countdown or two.
Also, don't miss our director retrospective series, where we review noted directors' movies film by film.
Bottom line is, if you love movies and love podcasts, you need to experience The Cinema Geeks.
You can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or GeekCastRadio.com.
Yo, Joe, and welcome to the Cracktastic Plastic Podcast, where a punk rock band of brothers get together to talk about one of our shared loves, toy collecting.
Toy hunt by day, punk rock band by night. We'll take any excuse to get in the van.
We all collect different toy lines like those real American heroes.
G.I. Joe!
To the toys that are more than meets the eye, Transformers.
To He-Man and the Masters of the Universe.
From vintage to modern and all topics in between, you can always expect some rowdy and passionate discussion because we love talking toys here on the Cracktastic Plastic Podcast.
Transformers! You are receiving a transmission from the Rod Pod. Upload pending.
Stand by for soundtrack transfer.
I am Maggie.
And I am John.
And we are trapped, hurtling through space in a ship shaped like Rodimus's head.
The ship, for reasons we haven't been able to determine, contains the entire run of the IDW Transformers Phase 2 comic, which chronicle the events following the end of the war between the Autobots and Decepticons. So we figure we may as well read them all in order and report our findings to you.
Stand by. Stand by.
Upload complete. Now.
The Rod Pod. Look for us at marriedwcomics.libsyn.com. At iTunes, at Stitcher, or wherever good podcasts can be found.
So, till all are one.
Till all are one.
Do you like the Transformers?
Yes.
Do you like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
Do you like IDW Comics?
And comic book podcasts?
Then come check out Ninjas and Bots. Each week, we look at an issue of Transformers
or Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles from their IDW Comics incarnation. We drop episodes every Saturday morning.
Just like the cartoons we loved as a kid. The show can be found on your favorite podcatcher and at johnreadscomics.com.
See you then.
Imagine a podcast that celebrates the things we love. Why spend time being so angry and cynical about our fandoms? Join me, the Irredeemable Shag, for a show where we're just trying to be happy. The Once Upon a Geek Podcast. Our discussions focus on a variety of geeky subjects that we're passionate about. While the topics will be ever-changing, our focus will be on science fiction, comic books, what it means to be a geek in this world, and other nostalgia-fueled ideas. Life is short. Focus on the positive. Find your joy. The Once Upon a Geek Podcast, part of the Fire and Water Podcast Network.
On the Simplistic Reviews Podcast, we talk movies. We talk TV. We talk...
Hello, Julie, what the heck are you doing?
trying to make our spot sound more exciting by adding explosions.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you could have got the point across with sound effects, not the real thing.
Download the show on iTunes or at simplisticreviews.blogspot.com.
I'm sure your insurance company will cover that.
No, they won't.
No, they probably won't.
We are back here on Altered Geek, only on the Geekcast Radio Network, and Mr. Kai from Kai Dragon Media. Promote yourself, sir. What do you got going on?
All right, so we've been working quite a bit on Sons of the Forest. We definitely want to keep promoting Sons of the Forest. It came out from Early Access. Fantastic game. It's a survival horror. I've been following Enshrouded and kind of keeping an eye on what they do with that as far as survival games go. Potentially on Saturday afternoons, I'm still working out the details. I will be collaborating with VTuber Orcasaurus. I'm hoping that we get something ironed out, but it's some silly kind of where we talk about pretty much everything. It's like the dragon and orc collide or something. It's something silly. We're still working on the name for it, but I'm probably adding that type of show to it as well. Oh, hold on. Sorry, Mike. Mike did that again. Oops, doing it again.
Yeah, I know it's doing it again. I don't know why it's doing it again, but it is what it is.
I'll give it just a second. Okay, it's clear. So, yeah, I got a lot of that exciting stuff going on. I'm trying to keep building that. And I should be starting to work on some gardening videos for my second channel very, very soon because we are approaching the springtime. So I do that as well. So hoping this year will be a good harvest. That way maybe I can show people from start to finish and even some canning. So.
Yes, here's hoping it all doesn't burn for the 1 in 1,000 year heat advisory.
I feel like that's every year now.
Kind of. 2020 kind of screwed us, you know.
Yes, it did. Yes, it definitely did. So that's kind of what I got going on.
Coming up, probably by the time you guys hear this episode, you're going to hear Kai for a third time because I got his gamer origins over on Studio 2009 30 Questions all about video games. And coming up next for that series on that show, folks, it's going to be a long one because Phillips brothers are going to team up and tell their story in episode 86.
I'm looking forward to that one.
Me too, since the last time we had a Phillips brother on this network was Headshot, episode one.
No, it was GCR and Wars.
Was it?
Yep. We're complaining about healthcare.
Yeah, healthcare.
that's an interesting topic in itself.
Dirty government and healthcare horrors was Headshot, wasn't it?
No.
Is it war real? I get it. Okay.
Don't argue close with me. I know my stuff.
Yeah. Let's close the show.
I know my things.
Anyhow.
Put stuff in your things.
Well, at least he has a sharp memory. I mean, if he remembers all the way back then, because what? That was like, how long ago?
2009.
Holy crap. Hey, good memory. Good memory.
Oh, he's wrong. Oh, shit. He's really wrong. He's off by March 26, 2010.
Whatever. It's still Headshot. It's GCR and Wars, episode one.
The government and healthcare horrors, featuring Steve Megatron, myself, and Brian Phillips, his youngest brother.
No, middle brother.
Brian's the... Oh, that's right. Kevin is
the youngest. Ruggles is the youngest.
And you know the sad part is, I remember that year. Those years. Yeah. I'm going to do a sideshow Bob here. Go. Yeah, I remember that.
All right, Steve, I think you can close it out now.
Alrighty. So thank you as always for listening to Alter Geek. I've been your host, Steve Megatron, joined with TFG1 Mike and Kai. Be sure to check out the show on your favorite podcatcher. And of course, you can interact with us on the website, geekcastradio.com, on the episode post there, or on social media, Facebook, and other platforms. So until next time, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks.
Bye.